From Spartan Stadium to Ford Field, we've got the sports opinions that matter to you. From the Driven Collision Studios, we make friends by accident. On the game, 7:30 a.m.
The views and positions expressed in this program are those of the host and do not necessarily reflect the views and positions of the game 7:30 a.m. Some may find the content of this program controversial or offensive.
It's time to play the game.
Be right. Put on your big boy pants and buckle up. This isn't the safe space for weak takes or whining. You can say that this sports radio show is offensive-minded. Call the show at 517-300-4263. Text or call us to the game, 7:30 a.m. Message the game, 7:30 a.m. on Facebook.
Guess who's back? Back again.
Beanie's back.
Tell a friend. Guess who's back?
Now, here's your host and professional hellraiser, Beanie Howell.
Welcome in. Michigan football besieged by multiple cheating scandals. Urban Meyer is going to be MSU's next football coach. And I have the easiest job in the world doing sports radio in a state where neither name brand Big Ten school is capable of staying out of the headlines for negative purposes. And some people on this show have the nerve to tell me there isn't a God. Can you see the light yet, Dr. J?
When did I ever say that to you?
I'm having a little fun with it. I'm having a good day over here. But I gotta know how you can cling to this increasingly indefensible position that there isn't a higher power out there. Because look at it. Man, did this fan base need something positive to attach to. And yes, the Urban Meyer thing has been a fun distraction. Most of us don't think there's any realistic chance of it happening. But it's been a nice reprieve from the football dejection and desolation we've known for the last two seasons. And now we get this news today about Michigan football. And you're going to sit there and tell me you don't believe in God.
I'm agnostic and I'm sticking with it.
If you were truly agnostic, you would acknowledge this is the proof you needed of a higher power. Because, man, this is exactly what the doctor ordered for the Spartan fan base. And you know what, Dr. J? I'm calling on you. I'm putting you on the spot to admit it. And it's okay. It's okay to say, I was wrong. There is a God. And it is the God of Abraham. And new development, a third testament. He wears green and white.
Oh, boy. I'm not doing that.
Well, anyway, before I dig in, let me set the table. Here's all the ways to participate in the show. You can weigh in on this story I'm about to jump into, because I believe it's going to elicit a lot of hot takery. Or anything else, you know, we go over today. It's out there for you. Here are all the ways to participate. Phone line, 517-300-4263. You can email offensive-minded. The address to it is beanie@wvfnam.com. You can use Facebook. Send us a message or post a comment there. Just search Facebook for the game 7:30 a.m. Or use the free game 7:30 a.m. app. Click chat in the main menu. Sends over a free text message to us. We'll read it on air, okay? All right, so this is breaking news. I mean, I was preparing for a completely different show today until this bombshell dropped in the middle of show prep. So here it is. I'll read you from Yahoo Sports. Here's Dan Wetzel's headline. NCAA investigating Michigan football for alleged rule violations related to sign stealing. All right, so let me read you some from the story, and then we can get in to the analysis, details, takeaways, and in general, more questions than answers that are coming out of this. The NCAA is investigating the Michigan football program for allegedly violating rules that prohibit teams from scouting in-person future opponents, industry sources have told Yahoo Sports. And by the way, this isn't just Yahoo. Everyone's reporting this now, but this is where I read it first. I'm going to go with that. And I like Dan Wetzel's stuff. The allegation pertains to NCAA bylaw 11.6.1, which reads, off-campus in-person scouting of future opponents in the same season is prohibited. Directly from the rule book. The Big Ten Conference received notification from the NCAA that the NCAA is conducting an investigation into Michigan football, according to a Big Ten spokesperson, who declined to confirm any further details. Here's a statement the Big Ten released earlier today. Quote, late Wednesday afternoon, the Big Ten Conference and University of Michigan were notified by the NCAA that the NCAA was investigating allegations of sign stealing by the University of Michigan football program. The Big Ten Conference has notified Michigan State University and future opponents. The Big Ten Conference considers the integrity of competition to be of utmost importance and will continue to monitor the investigation. The conference will have no further comment at this time. All right, so then Dan points out here, teams are normally provided extensive video of each opponent they play for scouting purposes. It is against the rule to scout an opponent in person. Okay, let's set that loud and clear. That is not allowable. Does that happen in the NFL and high school? Yes, but that is not allowable in the NCAA. In-person scouting is taboo. The issue here, according to sources, is whether Michigan used unnamed individuals to attend games of both scheduled opponents and possible college football playoff opponents in an effort to gather information on the signs they use to call both offensive plays and defensive alignments. Sign stealing is not technically prohibited and has a long and colorful history as part of the game. Scouting opponents in person has been prohibited since 1994. Whether the NCAA believes Michigan was using staffers or others who may be loyal to the program is unknown. So too is whether information was detailed via video or some other means, or if head coach Jim Harbaugh is involved. Come on, really? You really think anything goes on in the Michigan football program that Harbaugh doesn't know about? You really think that? Haven't we established by now, through myriad examples of all these different things that have happened in high-level college sports, that these coaches, whether it's football, basketball, whatever, Power 5 big-time coaches are the worst kind of control freak. Their fingerprints are on everything in their programs by design. And that's not just a Jim Harbaugh thing. That's an every coach thing. Every one of them. It's how they are. And we're still going to sit here and play like, well, maybe Harbaugh didn't know. Really? Are you serious? Michigan is accused of illegally spying on opponents. And we're running with the story that he may not have known. Okay, you know what? It's damnable and fireable either way in my book. And here's why. One, if he knew, well, clearly, it's at least somewhat his idea. But if he doesn't know, it still doesn't matter, because this is what I love about these situations, Dr. J. These coaches get out there and preach accountability and responsibility and the buck stopping with them. They preach that nonstop to the players. And they got no problem invoking every trite, overplayed platitude, colloquialism, whatever it is about accountability and responsibility when a microphone or a camera is in front of their face. They got no problem saying all that nice stuff that belongs on posters in a motivational speaking setting, right? They got no problem taking accountability then. But all of a sudden, when scandal erupts on their watch, all of those life lessons that they're supposedly trying to impart on their players all the time about accountability, all that goes out the window. I got to tell you, the older I get, the more I suspect these guys are full of it about that. Oh, and by the way, let me give you a quote here on this very kind of issue. If it's true that Michigan is illegally surveilling opponents and Jim Harbaugh didn't know, still a damnable offense. And here's a great coach on it. Quote, every coach, every executive, every leader, they all know right from wrong. Even those Enron guys. When someone uncovers a scandal in their company, I don't think they can say, I didn't know what was going on. They're just saying they're too dumb to do their job. And if they really are too dumb, then why are they getting paid millions of dollars to do it? They know what's really going on. Do you know who said that? That is a direct excerpt from one of Bo Schembechler's books.
I don't know what to say.
I do. Hypocrite. Hypocrite. And I don't care that he's dead. I hope his old rotting bones are spinning while I say this. Because this guy was writing BS self-help books like he's some corporate America champion titan of industry when he was just a football coach. Oh, and by the way, old Bo employed a serial sexual predator for four decades. You think he didn't know what was going on? He only had dozens of players telling him. Anyway, the apple didn't fall too far from the tree, did it? Because here's Harbaugh, and we're already out in front of this thing with the, well, we don't know if Harbaugh knew. Seriously, come on. Let me read you more about the story here from Yahoo Sports. Two of Michigan's opponents from this season told Yahoo Sports they became aware that Michigan knew their play signs. Sign stealing, again, does not violate NCAA rules unless the team uses in-game electronic equipment to relay information to players on the field or amongst coaches. The 2023 NCAA football rulebook addresses sign stealing in a general way under a section titled Prohibited Field Equipment. It states that, quote, any attempt to record, either through audio or video means, any signals given by an opposing player, coach, or other team personnel is prohibited. The rulebook does not express the need, the rulebook does express the need for coaches to follow the so-called football code and states that only the highest standards of sportsmanship and conduct are expected of players, coaches, and others associated with the game. It further lists numerous examples of unethical and unsportsmanlike conduct, but sign stealing isn't one of them. Regardless, Yahoo writes, the extent of this alleged operation by Michigan apparently concerned the NCAA. Right? Michigan is already under NCAA investigation for a series of level 2 rule violations that include Harbaugh meeting with recruits during a COVID dead period, using too many coaches in practice, and watching player workouts on Zoom. The school suspended Harbaugh for the first 3 games of this season after a negotiated resolution between the school and the NCAA for a 4-game suspension collapsed. The case is expected to be heard after the 2023 season. And remember, Harbaugh now facing a level 1 violation for allegedly lying / not cooperating with NCAA investigators. All right, so there's a lot to parse through here, okay? So let's just kind of go through the litany of it. My first reaction when I read this is this is a perfect example of why you shouldn't go out of your way to piss the NCAA off. And make no mistake, Jim Harbaugh has done that. They were in the middle of negotiating a 4-game suspension, right? Couldn't get it right for whatever reason. Allegedly, the NCAA wanted more, and Harbaugh wasn't willing to concede it. Talks break down. The NCAA says, fine, we'll move this to a full hearing, and we'll do the full kibitz after the season. So Michigan tries to get out in front of it by, and this is great, you talk about going out of your way to piss off the NCAA. The NCAA just told you four games wasn't enough. So Michigan turns around trying to get out in front of this thing and self-imposes a suspension that's smaller than the one that pissed the NCAA off in the first place. Do you think it's any coincidence that the NCAA now is gearing up to come down with the wrath of the Old Testament God here on Harbaugh for this too? No, he was already on their radar. This is why you don't poke the bear. This is why you should try and aim for detente, an old Cold War term, or de-escalation. Nope, not Harbaugh, because remember, this is a man who has never been told no in his life. By the way, I want to take a look at something here. This is the part that's unbelievable to me. Who's Michigan played so far this year? I mean, they've taken a lot of heat for a historically soft schedule. East Carolina, UNLV, Bowling Green, Rutgers, Nebraska, Minnesota, Indiana, and coming up this weekend, Michigan State. And you mean to tell me they thought they needed to surveil and illegally try to intercept hand signals and get inside edges on this group, on this cadre of lifeless college football programs? Man, they really risked it all for the smallest payoff in the history of cheating scandals. I mean, at least when they did this in their basketball program, they went all in and paid for premium players. By the way, when you start like piecing things together on this, look at it in retrospect, okay? So the allegation is they've been illegally surveilling other teams for their hand signals and stuff, right? Do you think if that's true, and I don't know what it is, but just running in the alternate timeline or whatever you want to call it, in the reality where it is true, how far back does it go? I guarantee you it didn't just start this year, if this is real. If they've been doing this, it's not a just 2023 thing. So when I think of it that way, have we seen signs of this before? Have there been little breadcrumbs? Is there a trail of this? And the reason I ask is I've seen some people on Twitter have been doing some sleuthing, and I think there is some evidence to it. How about this? I got some sound for you I'm going to play. Take a listen to this. This was from 3 or 4 weeks ago when Michigan played Rutgers, right? Took care of Rutgers at home 31-7. But at halftime, it was just 14-7, Michigan with the lead. And Rutgers was hanging in there, uncomfortably close, I'm sure, for Michigan fans' liking. But this is the Fox broadcast from TV that day. Here's the sideline reporter running up to Greg Schiano, Rutgers head coach. Listen to what he says with the new lens of what Michigan is accused of doing here. Take a listen. This is obviously courtesy of Fox.
Coach, 4 penalties for your team in the first half, some that cost you. How do you clean that up in the second half?
Well, there's some stuff going on out there, so we just got to slow it down a little bit. There's some things going on that aren't right as well, so we'll talk about how to handle it.
Now, what does that mean? There's some stuff going on out there that ain't right. What do you think he was talking about? In the moment, that didn't mean anything to us. But does it now, with the context of the story that came out today? I don't know, food for thought. I don't think you can decide either way on that, but it is interesting. That's why I wanted to play it for you. Bizarre. But to my point that if it's true, if they are doing this, if Michigan is recording other teams' hand signals and spying on them, pulling a Bill Belichick, a vintage Bill Belichick move, I guarantee you it didn't just start this season. And the reason I bring that up is think back to last year. Many of us were very surprised at the outcome of the TCU game, right? I mean, a lot of us expected Michigan to run in there and just destroy them and run through them like, you know, hot knife through butter. Well, they didn't, obviously. They turned the ball over a ton, 2 pick sixes alone you know, turn the ball over on the 1 yard line, you know, on the 1 inch line, on the edge of the goal line, stuff like that, right? And more surprisingly, though, like your team shooting itself in the foot on offense and turning the ball over like that, although uncharacteristic of that Michigan team in this one too this year. There are bad games that happen where that can happen. But what I thought was more shocking was TCU just carving Michigan up on offense, doing whatever they wanted against that Michigan defense, which no one had done all year. Now, let me ask you now, in retrospect, is that because Michigan didn't know what the play was every time they lined up on defense? Food for thought. Can't answer that definitively either way, but the point is, it's something to think about now. How does Michigan go all season with really no challenge on offense, not even from Ohio State, who had an NFL quarterback and three NFL wide receivers on the field at any given time, not to mention at least one NFL running back and a handful of, you know, day one, day two NFL draft picks on the offensive line? Michigan had no problem bottling that up the last 2 years, really. Coincidence? Here's the thing. You can't say either way definitively. The fact that, though, we're talking about it, and now that people are going to speculate that, that's the real penalty here. Regardless of what happens, if there is an NCAA outcome here, the real penalty is that now you've got an asterisk. Just like those Patriots teams, you have to deal with that now for the rest of forever. Yes, Ohio State fans are never going to forget this about those two games. The Ohio State fan base has already internalized the narrative that the reason they got their asses beat by you two straight times to end that 18 out of 19 streak of them owning Michigan for basically two decades is because you were cheating and because you knew what plays they were going to run. Whether it's true or not is immaterial at this point. I'm telling you, good luck shaking that, because Tom Brady is the GOAT in the NFL, and there are still people who will not let Spygate go, despite him winning, what, four more Super Bowls after that. This will follow you forever. It is simply inescapable. So my point is, you might be asking, well, if Michigan was surveilling everyone last year and that's why they were so dominant, why didn't they surveil TCU? Because that's the point I make. I'm suggesting that the reason TCU carved Michigan up was that Michigan didn't know their plays, didn't know their hand signals. And the reason they wouldn't is, the theory goes, Michigan wasn't scouting TCU because TCU, no one believed was going to make the playoff because it was the Big 12. But then we know what happened, right? I suppose it's possible. The point is, people are talking about it. Now, let me read a little bit more from a different story on this. This is from The Athletic. This is written by Brendan Quinn, who used to cover U of M basketball for MLive.com. Excellent journalist out of Philadelphia, by the way. I've had him on prior incarnations of this show. Our time at MLive did not overlap, but he's one of the best in the business. He's now with The Athletic. And his story about this has a little more detail that I think you'll find particularly interesting. First, here's a line from his story. The Big Ten claims that Michigan, as one source with knowledge of the allegation said, is using a, quote, vast network, unquote, to steal opposing teams' signs. The league told Michigan State it has reviewed film that indicates U of M had knowledge of what play an opposing team was going to run before the play occurs. Okay, so that's a big detail no one else has. Only Brendan Quinn for The Athletic has reported that yet. And I would tell you, the reason I'm telling you Brendan Quinn's resume, that he used to cover Michigan basketball for several years at MLive.com, the reason I'm telling you that is it's relevant. I'm saying he has better connections than national reporters do in Ann Arbor. So you connect the dots. When Brendan Quinn says one source with knowledge of the situation tells him the Big Ten believes Michigan was using a, quote, vast network, unquote, to steal opposing teams' signs, I'm saying there's a reason Brendan Quinn is the only one who has that detail, because he's more connected to Michigan. The league told Michigan State it has reviewed the film that indicates U of M had knowledge of what play an opposing team was going to run before the play occurs. That's a big detail right there. That's a big development. Another big development, and I've only seen Brendan Quinn report this too. This is the part that, for all of us in this part of the world, is the most intriguing, at least to me, because it's directly about Michigan State. Listen to this from Brendan Quinn's story in The Athletic. Upon learning of the pending investigation, Michigan State initially warned the Big Ten that it may consider not playing Saturday's game.
Yes!
Yeah, I read that and I was like, Dr. J has to believe in God now. She just does, because
please let it be true.
What did I lead the week with saying about this game, Dr. J, about Michigan and Michigan State? I said, direct quote on Monday. I guess I'm not going to get the direct quote. I could just play it back. But I came on and I said, I'm just going to be honest with you and tell you how I feel about this game. I wish we could duck them the way Michigan ducked Ohio State in the COVID year. I wish we could fake a COVID outbreak to get out of playing this game. And if we can't fake it, can we please identify someone we know with COVID and send them into the Duffy Doherty building without a mask, hacking, coughing, and sneezing, putting their snotty hands all over everything? Can we force an outbreak in the Michigan State football program to get this game canceled? I read
but
this today.
Better.
Yeah, it is.
Nobody has to get sick.
Yeah, everybody wins. Michigan gets the forfeit win. We get to avoid the humiliation, perhaps, of all humiliations. Fans don't have to watch it. We don't have to suffer through it. We don't have to talk about perhaps one of the most lopsided entries in the history of this rivalry. Everybody wins. NBC doesn't have to air this garbage. Man. Anyway, let me read that again. This is from Brendan Quinn in The Athletic. Upon learning of the pending investigation, Michigan State initially warned the Big Ten it might consider not playing Saturday's game out of concern for health and safety. What? Let me read that
mental
part back
stability
to
you. And
how about out of concern for Beanie Howell's blood pressure? Let me read this part again. This is just fascinating. Upon learning of the pending investigation, Michigan State initially warned the Big Ten it might consider not playing Saturday's game versus Michigan out of concern for health and safety of its players. Hey, I'll give them credit for innovating. Okay. You know why they said whoever told the Big Ten that was like, all right, well, we can't pull the fake COVID outbreak. Harbaugh already played that card. We got to come up with something different. Okay, we're afraid for the health and safety of our players. That's it. By the way, if State were really afraid for the health and safety of its players, it wouldn't have brain-dead coordinators and coaches scattered across the sideline. But I digress. Continuing with The Athletic story, on Thursday morning, MSU confirmed it will play the game. Michigan's upcoming opponents were notified of the allegations and games are expected to take place as planned. All right. Fascinating, though, that Michigan State, they were doing the right thing here. They were doing exactly what I asked. They were doing what I prayed to the Lord for on Monday on this show.
They tried their best. I'm sad it didn't work out, but at least, you know, they gave it a shot.
At least I know their hearts are in the right place. I'm actually, this is going to sound like a bit or a joke, I'm not kidding. This actually raises my admittedly incredibly low estimation of the people currently running MSU football. The fact that they saw this and like, oh, dude, did you hear what the Big Ten just told us today? Yeah, man. Michigan's illegally surveilling other teams. They probably have done it to us. They probably know what plays we're going to run on Saturday. Man, I think this might be an opportunity for us to shoehorn in a forfeit. We don't have to play this game. And we can position it as they know our play, so they'll hurt our players. Oh, dude, you're onto something. Yeah, we should totally do that. That's Harlan Barnett, Mark D'Antonio, strategy meeting.
Oh, my goodness.
I really am. I'm glad that actually crossed their minds, because usually, like, the machismo football approach is, you know, we'll never say not. We'll never say defeat. We'll never quit. We'll fight to the bitter end. Yeah, okay. That sounds good in Rudy, but please, none of us want to see Michigan State have all of the various unspeakable, immoral, amoral acts committed against them on the football field this Saturday. The fact that the chance was right there is disappointing, but I do take heart that the people paying attention and running the ship right now are at least not completely brain dead and saw this as an opportunity to get out from underneath this ass beating. Oh, and by the way, for any of you out there in green and white who, for some reason, maybe you're a special breed of masochist where you like to emotionally and spiritually and mentally torture yourself and inflict pain that way, not just physically, and you thought that there was some realistic chance of Michigan State scoring this upset this weekend, doesn't this prove to you that people in the own building don't believe it? The coaches were actually considering using this as an out from the game. Do you do that for a game you are confident you're going to win? Listen, man, there's a reason Harbaugh pulled this crap 3 years ago to duck Ohio State. Don't you think it had something to do with Ryan Day saying, I want to hang 100 on those SOBs this year? Yeah, that's why he did it. I've had State fans in the last 24 hours tell me, did you hear what Dylan Tatum said? No, what did Dylan Tatum say? The freshman corner, who's probably like one of the few guys on this team I would actually be upset if he entered the portal. Dylan Tatum said he honestly believes Michigan State's going to win this weekend. Well, what's he supposed to say when a camera's on him? Yeah, we're really just trying to keep this under 5 scores. Yeah, we know we're going to lose, and it's going to be painful and excruciating and humiliating, but we're going to go out there and try to keep it. We're going to try to beat the spread. That's what we're going to try to do. Is he supposed to say that? What's he supposed to say, guys? Also, keep this in mind. Everyone on a Power 5 roster is someone who has succeeded in sports their entire life until college. Keep that in mind. If you get a full ride scholarship at a Power 5 program for football, that means you were one of the best football players ever in the history of where you're from in high school. Translation, they aren't used to losing. I bet you there are a good number of players on this team that actually do think they're going to win on Saturday. But not because that's rooted in reality. That's because that's all they've ever known. They've been playing football, what? These guys have been playing football in like 15 or so years, right? They've never gone into a situation where they honestly thought they were going to lose. So I bet Dylan Tatum actually does believe that. The difference is, this ain't high school anymore. And the team you're playing, aside from having what appears to be a very unfair, illegally obtained advantage of knowing your plays, also is loaded with NFL players and simply does not make mistakes. Now, whether that's because of said illegal advantages is really immaterial. They do not beat themselves. And in order for Michigan State to score a Herculean upset like this, you know, Michigan State, a bad football team with not nearly the same level of talent as Michigan, although I think this team is more talented than people give it credit for. The point is, in order for a bad football team with incredibly bad habits to beat a really good one with incredibly immaculate, impeccable habits, there's one key thing that has to happen before we can even begin to speak about an upset. And that's the good team has to help. The good team has to help the bad one. That means they got to cough the ball up. They got to take penalties. They got to throw interceptions. Those are things Michigan doesn't do. At least not yet. And I don't think State's going to be the first to cause it, regardless of whether Michigan has tape of their hand signals or not. Well, let me continue on with this story. I'm getting distracted here. My overall takeaway. So now the NCAA is investigating Michigan on a different front for basically being the college football version of Bill Belichick, the Michigan Spygate. We need to come up with a good name for the Michigan version of this. What would it be? I don't know. We'll workshop it. Okay, Dr. J, that's your homework.
Okay, sounds good.
They have that going on. They already have the recruiting violation thing going on. And then on top of it, they already had Harbaugh himself had his own personal level one violation investigation ongoing. Again, why are we here? We're here because of Jim Harbaugh's fundamental inability to take the answer no. We're here because this man answers to no one. When you bring in a coach, and this is kind of a cautionary tale to Michigan State fans that are seriously begging for Urban Meyer. When you hire a football coach and he has autonomy and free reign and he's treated like a demigod, not just by the fans, that's normal, but by the actual administration, the athletic director who's supposed to be his boss, by the board of trustees, by the mega donors. When you treat and genuflect to the football coach that way, it empowers him to be unanswerable and unaccountable. Is it really any surprise that they've been cheating? The man has faced no pushback or consequence ever in his life. Ever. People wonder why the crooks on Wall Street continue to do this crap, illegally gambling with people's futures and retirements and getting out from underneath it with golden parachutes while leaving them in the breadline. People always wonder why they think they can get away with it every time it happens. Simple, because they get away with it. They have never not been held to account. That's why they keep doing it. It's really the same psychology as a misbehaving toddler. You can use any example you want, whether it's, you know, the age-old stealing the cookie from the cookie jar. Why do kids keep doing that? Because they know they can, and they're not going to stop until there's been equal and opposite consequence that comes to mind when they think about doing it, where something in their brain clicks and they say, you know what, if I do this, I'm going to get in trouble. But see, in order for that to click, especially in a disgusting, filthy industry like big-time college football, unless there's actual morals and integrity involved, which again, I would tell you, this is the latest evidence there isn't any of that. Not that there ever was. But in order for that to be there, in order for there to be some built-in mechanism that makes someone not want to break the rules, there has to be fear of actual consequence. And for Harbaugh, that just hasn't been a thing at U of M. There are no consequences for anything. This time last year, the guy was running a months-long character assassination campaign against 8 teenagers to early 20-somethings for having a fight in the tunnel. And he got his way on that, too, to the point that he became the Washtenaw County prosecutor. The dude runs the law enforcement there. Why would he follow the rules of the NCAA when he's above the highest law enforcement officer in the county? You think he's going to listen to the NCAA? The guy's never been told no in his damn life. Never. It ain't going to start now. He's 59 years old. Tigers don't change their stripes. Anyway, my overall take on this, and callers, hang on, you will have your time. You will have your time to shine. But just let me land this plane, because I needed something good this week, and I got it. Thank you, Lord, who definitely exists despite Dr. J's objections.
Oh, stop.
Here's my bigger takeaway out of all this. Again, Harbaugh's a guy, not that any big-time college football coaches like hearing this, but Harbaugh definitely doesn't like to hear no. And he doesn't like to have people looking over his shoulder. He doesn't like having to answer to people. He doesn't like oversight. This is year 9 at Michigan. This is already twice as long as any other head coaching stint he's ever had. We know he does not get along with his bosses. We know he's pissed off, and rightfully so, that after authoring the greatest consecutive seasons in Michigan football history in a generation, and on his way to a third straight, they're in the middle of a run that they haven't had record-wise since Bo was there in the mid-70s, half a century ago. He's done all of this, and he's beaten Ohio State. He's replaced the Buckeyes on the mountaintop in the Big Ten, gotten to the top level 2 years in a row, looks like he's well on his way to a third straight time, and is right now the betting favorite for the national championship. And he is still just the fourth highest paid coach in the Big Ten. And that pisses him off. And it should. It should. He hasn't gotten a new contract out of all this. Well, the reason is stuff like this. Michigan, and I don't think I'm speaking out of school here, some of the power brokers at Michigan do not feel comfortable giving him a new deal while he's under NCAA investigation, both his program and he himself personally. And now there's another one. What I'm saying is, isn't this just the latest evidence? Harbaugh won't be in Ann Arbor next year. This is it. Not because he's going to get fired either. It's because he's done. He's tired of it. This is a guy who does not accept no for an answer, and he's getting more pushback and more no's this year than ever before. And now he's got another NCAA headache on his hands. Isn't this just the latest evidence? He's going scorched earth on his way out. He doesn't give a damn. This is his last best chance to win the title at Michigan. Things are lining up for him. Georgia looked invincible to begin with. They lost perhaps the best player in all of college football for the season this past weekend. Brock Bowers, ankle injury, done. Michigan now installed as the odds-on favorite to win the national championship in Vegas. Harbaugh got all of these guys who were eligible to return but could have been drafted. He got all of them to come back one more year to make one more run to run it back. The Big Ten is still their oyster. Ohio State breaking in a new quarterback, two new starting tackles. Everything's lining up for him. So he's going scorched earth. It's his last best chance. This guy ain't going to be there next year. That's my take. Isn't this just the latest evidence? And one other thing. Two other things, actually. There are sports books now putting out advisories that about this as it pertains to Michigan's point spreads. That's a big development. When Vegas is getting involved, that means it's serious. And what that means is they could take Michigan's games off the board the rest of the way, or at least once or twice or so. We'll have to see. It could happen. And that's a sports book by sports book decision. Oh, and by the way, let me get to the Michigan fan response to this, because this is great. I love this. This is fantastic. If it weren't enough for you already that for the past 6 weeks, every Walmart Wolverine in your life has been lecturing you from a place of perceived moral superiority because of the Tucker scandal, one way or another. Most commonly, state can't hire Urban Meyer, not after this scandal, the latest scandal, and the Nassar stuff, as if that's at all connected to Michigan State football. The best part of that is, Dr. J, Michigan fans are invoking a MSU sex scandal, a horrible one, by the way, that was not at all involved with football. But they're bringing that up nonstop right now as it pertains to Michigan State football. Meanwhile, they are maybe 1 year, 2 years removed from the worst ever sex abuse scandal in the history of college sports, and it was directly tied to their football program. The people who have been lecturing you about this for the last 6 weeks are the same people who haven't pulled down the statue or likeness or removed the last name of a man who protected a serial sexual predator and sex criminal for four decades. And you're going to listen to that? Well, here's the best part of that. Now, for their second act, these same people are out there telling you, this is no big deal. This doesn't matter. Everybody does it. Survey says, yeah, no. But here we go. The very chaste and honorable Michigan fan base who's out here policing everyone else's integrity and morals is telling you, oh, our coach is under investigation for lying and obstructing an NCAA investigation. Our program's under investigation because of illegal recruiting practices. And now our program's under investigation for basically being the KGB of college football and surveilling our opponents. No big deal. No big deal. The utter hypocrisy. These people wanted Urban Meyer burned at a stake and Ohio State football to get the death penalty when Urban Meyer didn't fire a guy accused of domestic violence fast enough. These people want Michigan State shut down because the head coach took care of himself on a phone call. The Michigan difference. It's offensive minded. I'm Beanie. This is the game, 7:30 a.m.
There's only one station in Lansing that you've depended on for sports for over 30 years. Some call us by our government-given name of WVFN East Lansing. You can call us by the name the people of Lansing know us by, and that name is The Game, 7:30 a.m. Start your weekday morning with the Dean of Sports, Tim Stout. Middays with Mike Greenberg. Offensive-minded with Beanie Howell. And The Huge Show with Bill Simonson. We're a force to be reckoned with. We're Lansing's only sports station. The Game, 7:30 a.m.
Right. Talking about it like he stole it.
Yeah, he probably did, too.
Beanie Howell with Offensive Minded on The Game, 7:30 a.m.
Hey, it's the new Michigan fight song. All right, we're weighing in on it. Michigan accused of surveilling opponents, stealing hand signals, illegally recording them, and illegally scouting in person. Your thoughts on that, you can weigh in. And then the Michigan State part is the Big Ten informed Michigan State of this Wednesday, and MSU was told the Big Ten it was considering canceling the game. Should they have? That's all out there for you. Let me go to the phone lines, 517-342-63. Bass Boat Randy, long time no talk. How you been, man?
Doing real good, Beanie and Doc J. How you guys doing? Great show, like always. Hey, you know, first of all, before I get in my little rant, I just want to wish my wife happy 25 years at MSU as of tomorrow.
Oh, that's awesome. I wish they would give her a better anniversary gift than what's going to happen Saturday night.
You know, Beanie, it's just amazing. I mean, Harbaugh, like you said, you know, you've covered my rant about him, okay? And, of course, we all know what's going on with Michigan State. My take on this is, when's this stuff going to stop? I mean, both colleges. Every time I turn your show on, one's outdoing the other. Right?
Yeah, you're right.
And then they're throwing stuff at each other like two little kids on the playground. I mean, come on, you guys. I mean, if it wasn't for the Detroit Lions, and thank God for them, because, you know, the more I hear about Michigan or Michigan State scandal or whatever, you know, the more I'm getting pushed away from sports. But thank God for the Lions. And Doc J, I'm drinking the Kool-Aid too, because I was out there like, no way. But I'm a believer. But this has to stop. I mean, come on. I mean, Harbaugh. I mean, even if he's gone, the person that they replace him with will still have that Michigan mentality. You know, I mean, maybe they won't say no as often as Harbaugh. But it's just got to stop, okay? And the point that you made, there's going to be that little asterisk. You know, why can't we just have a season where Michigan and Michigan State don't do something stupid and they decide, hey, you know what? Let's go and play some football and let's win a title and, you know, be proud about it. Beanie, can this be fixed?
Well, yeah, I'm sure it can, because I don't think the problems are – The issues that have happened at either school are not unavoidable. They've happened because of either, you know, just bad actors and or complete incompetence. It varies case by case, but sure, it can stop. I also think some of it, Randy, and I'm not making an excuse for it. That's not the point at all. But some of it, I think, is just a product of our day and age where I'm not sure how much of this stuff was happening before. I just think stuff gets out more now, you know, because of, I guess, right, social media, maybe, in our instant gratification news cycle we live in. That's more stuff gets out more immediately that maybe seemed like small potatoes before. That's probably part of it. But, yeah, I don't think it necessarily has to be this way. Do you?
No. You know, some way, somehow, it'll be fixed. It'd be kind of nice to sit down, watch a Michigan-Michigan State game, or even Michigan or Michigan State, primetime national TV. You don't have to worry about the announcers bringing up a scandal. You know, it's, come on. I mean, you know, it's like, geez. It's like watching Gilligan's Island. You know Gilligan's going to mess it up in the end, so why even watch it? But, hey, thanks for taking my call, you guys, and I'll be down by the studios next week. You guys have a great day, okay?
All right, thanks, Randy. Appreciate it. I get it. It's you've got scandal fatigue. both of these fan bases do. And even for the people who, like, straddle the fence on it, we've got some of those. I don't understand how you can't make a choice. I mean, there weren't people who fought for the South and the North, but I digress. The point is, I get it. Yeah, there are people that are just at their wit's end on this, that have had enough. It does certainly seem like one steps in it, and then we start to cool down, and that just, you know, starts to bleed into the normalcy of the background, and then the other one steps in it. Yeah, it's just been going back and forth for a few freaking years here. It is wild. But like I said earlier, hey, you ain't going to hear me complain. I have perhaps the easiest job in the world. I do sports talk radio in a college sports-obsessed market here in Big Ten country in the state of Michigan. Obviously, the number one interest of my listeners is Michigan State and Michigan State. Let's just say Michigan State is incredibly giving to me in the form of content. And Michigan, not to be outdone by Michigan State in anything, says, wait up, little brother. We can out-scandal you. And I just sit here with a bigger bowl and a bigger spoon, lapping it up. You can weigh in on that the rest of the day. I need to take another break, but let me kind of wrap it up for you in a nice little digestible question. One is, what do you make of the Michigan allegations here of illegally surveilling and scouting opponents? Does it matter to you? I would love to hear from the Michigan crowd on this, because I've heard a lot of you in the social space that you just don't care. And I'm fine with that take. I just want to know it. I want to hear you be honest about it. So don't be afraid to share that. Because even though, like, let's say Michigan wins the national championship this year and then it gets vacated. So it still happened. Vacation of wins and championships is the most toothless penalty out there. It's perfect for college sports because it means nothing. All that stuff still happened. It's not like you get out the Men in Black neuralizer and wipe the memories of that championship season from every Michigan fan's mind. Doesn't work that way. Still happened. Does it matter to you? And then for the Michigan State side, you know, the Athletic is reporting when the Big Ten approached MSU with the news of this investigation yesterday, Michigan State told the Big Ten, hey, we might cancel the game then. But I ultimately elected not to. Do you think that was the right call? I'll be honest with you. I wish State had canceled and ducked this game. I don't see any positives that come of it. I wish we didn't have to play it. But see, there's the difference between Michigan State and Michigan. Michigan did not want to let Ryan Day and Ohio State score 100 points on them in the COVID year. So what did they do? They feigned a COVID outbreak to get out from playing the game. Michigan State just had the same opportunity handed to them on a silver platter to get out from playing this game. Would you have to have a forfeit loss? Fine. That's better than what's going to happen on Saturday night. But they wouldn't do it. That's the key difference between Michigan and Michigan State. Michigan State does not have the courage of its convictions. Michigan State is not nearly as firm in its foundations. Michigan is completely and utterly shameless. And some of you in blue hear me saying that are getting mad that I'm criticizing you. No, I'm envious. I wish my school was unashamedly, unabashedly, and completely shamelessly devoted to winning at all cost. I wish Michigan State was like that, but we're not. That's how stuff like this happens. That's how a tunnel fight happens. And then for 2 months, one side paints the other as criminals and even leverages law enforcement to get that message across. And the other says nothing. That's how when Devin Bush decides to throw the biggest little baby tantrum ever on the Spartan Stadium logo at midfield and scuffs it up. And then afterward, Michigan completely destroys the visitor locker room to the tune of six figures worth of damage, including smearing human feces on the walls. That all happens, and somehow the Big Ten finds Michigan State. That's why that stuff happens, because Michigan State doesn't have a spine. And Michigan not only has a spine, but they have a planetary ego attached, and they're not ashamed of it. You can weigh in on that, and that'll put this to you the blue way. Or you know what? Anyone, green or blue, I want to know, do you think what I think? This is just the latest evidence. Jim Harbaugh does not give a damn. He's going scorched earth because he's gone. This is it. He's out of college after this year going back to the NFL. 517-300-4263. Call us there. Email the show, beanie@wvfnam.com. You can use Facebook, send us a message or post a comment. Just search Facebook for The Game 730 AM to do that. Or use the free Game 730 AM app. Click chat in the main menu. Sends over a free text to us. Back in a couple. It's Offensive Minded. I'm Beanie here on The Game 730 AM.
Get your Detroit Lions pregame fix all season with nachos and kneecaps. The Lansing area's very own local Detroit Lions tailgate show. Presented by Momentum Health Center in Mason. Join yours truly, Beanie, from Offensive Minded on The Game 730 AM and Brock Palmbush every week about 2 hours before kickoff. We cover all the Lions angles, player availability, matchups, outrageous Dan Campbell in-game decisions and audio, local ski mask sales, and everything else. Nachos and kneecaps, presented by Momentum Health Center in Mason, is also brought to you by Miller Lite on Classic Rock 94.9 MMQ and The Game 730
EFN, East Lansing, a Town Square media station. The Game 730 AM, Lansing's only sports station.
Football and
The Game 730 AM studio is powered by Driven Collision. We make friends by accident.
There's a long history of radio superstars that have come and gone in the Lansing area sports radio, Daddy. Legendary names like Mike Peplowski, David the Mad Dog DeMarco, Brock Palmbush, and Timmy Stout. But only one man has the intelligence, the intestinal fortitude, a girthy medulla oblongata, if you will. That man is Beanie Howell, Daddy. Beanie Howell, you've been to the top of the mountain. You've wined and dined with kings and queens, and you've dined in the second best production studio in the building on protein shakes and poking beans. But let there be no mistake, only one man will rise and step to the microphone to become world champion of Lansing area sports talk radio. And that man is Beanie Howell, Daddy. Put your hands on the radio, ladies and gentlemen. And help me welcome him now to the airwaves.
Hard times! Hard times! You don't know what hard times are, Daddy!
Hard times, little sad. Bet you cross the line.
Thank you, Dusty Rhodes / Steve DeWitt Dream Goff. This is Offensive Minded. I am the aforementioned Beanie here on Lansing's only sports station, The Game, 7:30 a.m. Hey, here's what you missed today. Michigan under NCAA investigation, their football program is, for alleged sign stealing and illegal surveillance and scouting of opponents. Here's the questions I have for you. Whether you're green or blue, do you care? Do you think it matters? For a lot of Michigan fans, a lot of you guys who have been so concerned about the ethics and integrity in East Lansing don't seem all that concerned about this. I got to tell you guys, the more stuff like this happens at your school, I'm starting to suspect you don't really care about it. That you're not really all that interested in integrity and doing things the right way. You just like to pile on little brother. And you know what? That's okay. Just admit it. Stinking cowards. Why won't you just own it? I would celebrate it. I am celebrating it when it's happening to you right now. I needed something positive this week. And man, did you guys deliver. Appreciate you. Also, for the Michigan side, your general takeaway from this as it applies to Harbaugh, are you with me? Like, this is just the latest evidence. He won't be there next year. He is going scorched earth on the way out. Throw caution to the wind. Damn the rules. I don't give a bleep. I'm trying to win a national championship. It is my last best chance. I got all these guys to come back one more year who could have been in the NFL now. Things are lining up for me. The Big Ten is still my oyster. Ohio State looks like it's regressed, at least offensively. And now maybe the only real roadblock in my way was Georgia. And they already looked mortal. And then they lost their best player, maybe the best player in the country, tight end Brock Bowers, for the season. It's all lining up for Michigan. Do you think Harbaugh even gives a damn about all this stuff? About all of his myriad scandals? and now two NCAA investigations into Michigan football, and one into Harbaugh himself for the level one violation, allegedly lying to NCAA investigators. That's my takeaway. And also to the state fans, the best nugget out of this, and I'm a little pissed over it, is The Athletic is reporting when the Big Ten contacted Michigan State yesterday to inform them of the NCAA investigation into U of M for sign stealing and illegal scouting, Michigan State reportedly told the Big Ten, all right, we may cancel the game Saturday. But then this morning, State reversed course and confirmed it will host the game. It will play the game. I'll be honest, I'm disappointed. I came on here Monday and told you my honest take on this game was I wish we didn't have to play it. I wish Michigan State was as shameless as Michigan and would pull what Harbaugh did in 2020 when they clearly faked a COVID outbreak to avoid the Ohio State curb stomping to the tune of 100 points that was due that week. I wish we would have done the same. I said that on Monday. I wish we could get out of this. And then we had the opportunity on a golden platter. Not silver, golden. We didn't take it. I know many of you are going to be like, oh, you're such a coward. You know what? I would rather be called a coward than play the game and remove all doubt. Because I think there is going to be irreparable brand harm done on Saturday. I'm not worried about, you know, the all-time standings or the point differentials or any of that. I just think there's going to be some severe harm done to the brand here on Saturday night. Ugh, I wish we didn't have to play it. And there was our out, and we didn't take it. But again, you know, let me recap my thoughts on that. That is the difference, the key difference between Michigan State and Michigan. Michigan State does not have the courage of its convictions. It does not have a spine. Michigan has all the confidence in the world. When it makes a decision, it sticks to it. It unabashedly, shamelessly defends its position. And it controls narratives and spins criticism for its decisions around on the people levying the criticism. There are all sorts of manifestations and examples of that. All you got to do is look back to last year, the tunnel fight. That's a perfect example. What do you think would have happened if roles would have been reversed? Do you think Michigan State would have conducted a two-month character assassination campaign? Do you think Michigan State, do you think Mel Tucker would have leveraged and weaponized the Ingham County Prosecutor's Office to drag Michigan's tunnel fighters into court? No, they wouldn't. I'm confident in that. I mean, hell, when Devin Bush scuffed up the field back in 2018, right? Tore up the field, had his little tantrum. Michigan wins the game, I think 21-7, right? And after the game, and look, this didn't even really get publicized. But if you're in the media here, you know. And if you're connected to the program, you know. Michigan did six figures worth of damage to the visitor locker room at Spartan Stadium, including smearing human feces on the walls. You know what the end result is? The Big Ten fines Michigan State. Flip that around. What do you think would have happened if a Spartan player scuffed up the block M? I know it's impossible because they play on artificial turf, but just play along. What do you think would have happened if that had happened? And then afterward, State had trashed the Michigan visitor locker room to the tune of six figures worth of damages, including smearing human feces on the wall. Well, I'll tell you one thing. There would have been multiple stories. There would have been months-long coverage in the Detroit media about that. There'd be an expose. The TV stations would have their news vans camped out outside the Scandalera Center, trying to, like, yellow journalism the state coaches as they leave the football building. Do you have any comments on your players' smearing poop on the walls at the Big House. Instead, what really happened when Michigan did that to Michigan State? No coverage. In fact, many of you who are hearing me talk about this, this is probably the first time you've ever heard that story. Flip it around. You think that's the case if it were the other way? No, it wouldn't be. Here's why. Michigan doesn't apologize for doing everything it can to further its interests. Michigan State does not have that courage of its convictions. Michigan State cares what other people think. Michigan State cares what Michigan thinks. And worse yet, Michigan State cares what the Detroit media thinks. Now, again, a lot of you in blue are hearing me say all this. Maybe you're getting a little riled up, pissing you off a little bit. Beanie's tearing us down again. Really, I'm envious. And that's the truth. I wish Michigan State carried itself the way Michigan does. I wish our football program treated itself as above reproach, despite a lot of reproach. I wish the people in charge at Michigan State shamelessly shilled for Michigan State. I wish the people in charge at Michigan State had one goal: to further the best interests of Michigan State at all cost, any and all cost. I wish that's how we did business, but we don't. You do. I'm jealous. Doesn't mean you're not completely reprehensible moral miscreants. But you know what? I would prefer that if it meant we won and had success. Because again, I don't give a damn about any of that. Differences between me and someone who says they do care about that stuff is I'm honest. You can weigh in on that. That's fine. 517-300-4263. Email the show, beanie@wvfnam.com. Facebook's out there. Send us a message or post a comment. Search Facebook for the Game 730 AM to do that. Or use the free Game 730 AM app. Click chat in the main menu. Sends over a free text to us. That's what Baker in East Lansing has done. Baker says, who could forget a couple of years back when Michigan ducked the GLI, Great Lakes Invitational in hockey, so they wouldn't have to play a highly ranked Western Michigan hockey team, as some of the Michigan players were playing for Team USA. It's an embarrassing and obvious trend. Well, you're exactly right. That's exactly what happened. And they got away with it. They knew they were going to lose that game because so many of their players were unavailable, which, by the way, Michigan knew would be the case when they agreed to play in that GLI. But that didn't stop them. The people in charge in Ann Arbor did not stop and say, oh, this isn't the right thing to do. They said, this is the right thing to do. It best protects the outcome of our season for Michigan hockey. So we're going to go ahead and duck it. Again, I'm jealous. I know, Baker, it bothers you. I get it. Your rival doing untoward things that benefited them and they suffered no consequence for. I get why that upsets you. But let me ask you honestly. If Michigan State did that and benefited from it, would it keep you up at night? Because it wouldn't for me. It keeps me up at night that State doesn't do that kind of stuff. When I found out what Devin Bush, Chase Winovich, and the rest of those guys did to our visitor locker room at Spartan Stadium back in 2018, when I found out about that, and more importantly, realized State did not raise hell over that, that State did not take that to the Big Ten office to publicize, that State did not plant that story in the Detroit media and leverage it for months. That pissed me off. That keeps me up at night. We're playing two different games here. One side wears blue, and it doesn't apologize for doing anything and everything it can to win. The other side wearing green wants to win, but cares what other people think and is afraid of being cast as a bad guy, as a villain. Isn't that great? Man, I look at some of the coverage we get. I I read, you know, every time I read just another negative headline in the Detroit media, you know what I think? I think, man, Michigan State can't hire Urban Meyer or else we run the risk of pissing off these nice folks in the media. Oh, boy, we can't go out there and unapologetically shill for our best possible outcomes and only care about what's in our best interest, because if we do, all these nice folks in the media might write mean things about us. Oh, wait, that happens anyway. Why do we care? There's one thing for fans to care and get bent out of shape, fine. But what bothers me is that it bothers and gets to the people in charge at Michigan State. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. I got another one here. This is the mayor of Holt, John Freeberg. And he asks, how serious are these allegations against Michigan football? What does it all mean? Well, I don't know what it means. If you're asking, like, what would the penalty be? I don't know. And I haven't read that anywhere yet. So I don't think we really have a good grasp on that. And I'm not going to speculate because I have no clue. But I do know what the prevailing opinion seems to be is that if it turns out to be true and it's corroborated in an NCAA investigation, that maybe just on its own, but certainly in concert with what Michigan is already being investigated for the recruiting violations, and then Jim Harbaugh's level one recruiting violation himself, like it's an accumulation of things all together. There's a very serious threat of vacation of accomplishments over this span. Now, I personally don't give a damn. That's not a real punishment to me. Think how stupid it is. Well, here's your punishment, Michigan. You didn't win the national championship in the 2023 season. Okay. So they can't have a banner. They can't have a trophy for it. Because it didn't happen. Weird. Millions of people around the world seem to remember it happening. Michigan seems to remember it happening because it was a good thing for recruiting. It got assistant coaches better jobs. You can't vacate it. It's the ultimate slap on the wrist. So stupid. Yeah, I really don't think there will be any serious consequence. By the way, I think Harbaugh is gone. I guess like the more things develop here, I just don't think he wants to deal with it. And I know he's upset with the way that they've handled his contract or lack thereof, especially after what he's accomplished. And who could blame the guy? But there are some high-powered people in Ann Arbor who do not like the idea of giving him a new contract when he's under NCAA investigation. And here's another. What a mess. It's Offensive Minded. I'm Beanie. This is the game, 7:30 a.m. We're back after these words.
Get your Detroit Lions pregame fix all season with nachos and kneecaps. The Lansing area's very own local Detroit Lions tailgate show. Presented by Momentum Health Center in Mason. Join yours truly, Beanie, from Offensive Minded on the game 7:30 a.m. and Brock Palmbush every week about 2 hours before kickoff. We cover all the Lions angles, player availability, matchups, outrageous Dan Campbell in-game decisions and audio, local ski mask tales, and everything else. Nachos and kneecaps, presented by Momentum Health Center in Mason, is also brought to you by Miller Lite. On Classic Rock 94.9 MMQ and the game 7:38.
Got a hot take?
Boom! Hot take!
Offensive-minded phone lines are open. 517-300-4263.
Okay, we're back, and we have on the line with us Chris Solari, the MSU beat writer for the Detroit Free Press, joining us on a whim. Thanks for your time, man, and for, you know, short notice and all that. I appreciate it. How you doing today?
Yeah. Well, I'm well. Apologize for the excess road noise, but I am driving back from Breslin. Little tidbit, Garrett Norman also battling a little bit of injuries from what Tom Izzo said, but nothing that's keeping him out like Jackson Holder. So there's your basketball update.
Man, I mean, Michigan State basketball.
Going on in the college football world today?
Michigan State basketball keeps a lot of orthopedics in business, man. But we'll talk about that in a minute. Yeah, let's start with what you're alluding to. The most interesting part to me Do you have this? Did you get this through your reporting? I saw Brendan Quinn in The Athletic reporting that Michigan State, when approached by the Big Ten about Michigan's NCAA investigation into alleged illegal scouting, Michigan State considered canceling the game, but then today informed the Big Ten it won't. Is that true?
Yeah, I haven't got that, but I find it hard to believe that Michigan State would be able to get out of a TV contract of such magnitude, particularly a primetime game. You know, that I think is a tough wiggle room. So, and they know that. I mean, so was it a little bit of bluster? Was it a little bit of gamesmanship based upon what happened in the aftermath of the tunnel fight? Maybe. But I find it hard to believe that they wouldn't have in some way, shape, or form known that you're pretty much contractually obligated to play this game.
And it would have been a logistical nightmare to, like, refund all those tickets and stuff, too. But how did it work in the COVID?
Donations to the Spartan Fund, right?
Yeah. What were the consequences of that, though, in the COVID year? I know it was different circumstances, but, like, Michigan ducked Ohio State. They were able to get out of that. Do you remember?
I don't remember there being any consequences for that, but that was obviously a lot different of a circumstance than this. You know, simply because of the health and safety protocols that are required during the middle of a pandemic. But, you know, the health and safety issue, you know, if the team allegedly knows your plays before you make them, I don't know. You know, it's funny because I thought you brought something up, an interesting point about TCU earlier in the show when it was driving in. Correct me if I'm wrong, you said that, you know, TCU, you know, they hadn't been scouted and Michigan hadn't scouted them, right?
That's my theory, yeah.
Now, if it was an open secret in the Big Ten that this might have been happening, and it sounds like it had been, what's to say that TCU didn't catch wind of it through the coaching circles and make changes to their signs?
Yeah, I mean, sure, that could be.
They had a month to prepare.
Yeah, and I'm connecting dots that maybe aren't connected, but, you know, we did all find it incredibly odd that TCU moved the ball seemingly at will on Michigan's defense that had been stalwart.
You can't really do that kind of change in the middle of a season on the fly, but if you have a month in between games, you can.
Yeah, for sure. You can change the whole vernacular and everything. So, and you know what else is weird about this, Chris? The Big Ten informing other schools that Michigan is about to play about this, that is so awful looking. Like, the Big Ten is basically telling Michigan State, hey, you might want to change up all of your hand signals because these guys probably know what they mean.
Maybe. I think that's probably somewhat true and realistic. You know, I think that, you know, obviously the Rutgers situation with Schiano kind of gives you a little bit of a potential insight as maybe Rutgers brought this up as a possibility. I don't know. I mean, it's such a weird thing and a weird timing on it. You know, right before the rivalry week, this all of a sudden pops up. It's like the shenanigans have started early.
Yeah, exactly.
So,
you know what else, dude? Have you heard this? I heard, again, this is not confirmed anywhere, but I was just told by a well-placed person that Minnesota had raised some complaints to the Big Ten after Michigan went there a couple weeks ago and destroyed them.
Fleck seems more like the type than Tom Allen to make that kind of a fuss, but perhaps Tom Allen did too because of the timing of it, right? It's hard to say. I mean, you play the guessing game with any of their previous opponents, but it's not a good look. And quite honestly, it'll be interesting to see how that affects things on the field this week. Will it negatively impact Michigan, or will they try and put up 100?
Well, let me ask you that.
They might have tried to do that anyway.
Right, exactly. Do you think there is some... You know, does this change anything, you think, like in the balance of what happens?
I mean, probably not. I mean, it's not like there's not all this games tape. You know, we're six games into Michigan State season. They got plenty of tape on them. Mm-hmm. I don't know how much they would have really needed to address hand signals. I mean, particularly when you've got a redshirt freshman quarterback that's starting and, you know, a run game that's at times had its issues, like in the fourth quarter at Rutgers. So, I mean, I don't know. I mean, it does – I think, if anything, it might give Michigan State players a little juice.
Sure.
Yeah. You know, I mean, at this point, they'll take anything for a little bit of energy and emphaticism for this game. But, I mean, the disparity in talent is one thing. The disparity of penalties is the other. I mean, you're talking about the nation's number one team at not committing penalties versus one of the nation's bottom 20 teams in committing them. So there's a lot that goes into that, and the discipline aspect is going to play a pivotal factor in this game.
This whole scandal thing, though, or allegations of the cheating is serious. Aside from what we've talked about, though, like, I'm seeing sports books are putting out like notices attached to Michigan's point spreads. And I've read at least one, like, Odds Shark, who's not affiliated with a sports book, but he tweeted that he thinks it's probably going to happen at least this week, maybe further on. Down the line, Michigan games are just taken off the board because of this. That's very interesting to me, considering these guys, this is their livelihood. So that tells me this is real.
And on top of that, it's a very heavily bet on program, one way or another. You know, whether you hate them or whether you absolutely love them around the country, they've got enough fans to put down money. That's why you see those lines sometimes get as big as they are to entice the people.
For sure.
That's good. The gambling aspect is certainly something to keep an eye on, in terms of what comes with, you know, this investigation, because if it's a significant threat to that integrity that everybody's talking about, the Big Ten, Michigan State, everybody else is talking about the ethics and integrity, the real world now involves that gambling component, and was there any undue influence in that respect?
Yeah, good point. Chris Lahr is on the horn with us for maybe another minute or two, joining us on a whim. I appreciate it, Chris, the MSU beat writer for the Free Press. Hey, I wanted to run this by you, and I'm not doing a bit. I just know we've talked about it each time you've been on the last couple of weeks. The latest on the Urban Meyer thing. Now,
well, he's in the car with me right now.
Okay, so let me.
That's a bit.
I'm going to set this up. Apparently, the guy who was the head coach at Last Chance U is a man named Jason Brown. Now, he is very, very publicly disgraced. He lost his job there because they really sucked one year. He got fired, and he's had all sorts of legal problems, including at one point he was facing 8 felony charges related to blackmail and identity theft. He's had some issues. But apparently he has a show, I guess, that live streams on YouTube every day from like 6 to 9 in the morning, at least Pacific time. Today, in the middle of his show, I only saw this because it blew up on Twitter. He was in the middle of his show, and he turned his mic off and picked up his phone, and his co-host just filled for him for like a minute. He comes back and basically says he just got word that Urban Meyer is in East Lansing again today interviewing for the job, and they were actually just hammering out the details that he is officially going to take the job. I think people should take that with a grain of salt, given this man's rap sheet alone, and also the fact that he once told a German player that he was going to be his personal Hitler, on top of other things. But what do you make of that? Is there anything worth commenting?
I don't know. I trust all radio, TV, and podcast hosts who take a call in the middle of a broadcast, right? Interesting fortuitous timing. It just happened to come right then and there, right?
Yeah.
And I believe that Urban Meyer today did his podcast with Tim May.
Yes. Yes, he did.
And I believe, unless he was doing that somewhere on campus, I mean, the best way to figure out if Urban Meyer was doing that podcast on campus is watch it back and check the internet connectivity to it, because if it was wonky, maybe he was on campus. If it was a strong signal, there's no chance he was on campus, because that Wi-Fi on campus isn't exactly the greatest.
Do you have anything else on this, or have you heard anything?
I mean, here's the thing. It's still October, right? check back with me in about 2-3 weeks. Once we get towards that November part where the season's winding down and coaches start looking at other places, I think that at minimum what this has done is kept Michigan State's name on people's lips in the national scope for this job, as opposed to talking about Mel Tucker's situation.
Yeah, no kidding.
So there is at least that cost benefit for these rumors at minimum. It could give a smokescreen for the real candidates that they're looking at, because everybody's busy looking at the shiny object over here where someone's slipping by the back door on the other side, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think back to when everyone was all Bo Pelini, Bo Pelini, Bo Pelini, and guess who kind of slid in around the edge at the end there? The guy that, if you listen to the people who made the decision, said was their top candidate all along, Mark D'Antonio. Who told them they couldn't talk until after his season was over. So, you know, it's great rumor fodder. It's great Twitter fodder. It's great meme fodder. And is there some veracity to it? Possibly. But, I mean, I don't know if you could really look at this right now and say, wow, this is really, really happening, right? I mean, until you get past November, I don't think you're going to start hearing legitimate.
I get what you're saying. So we got to leave it there. I'm out of time. But you tell Urban on your drive back to the Capital Region International Airport right now that I appreciate him and I'm looking forward to having him on my show, okay?
I would, but he just jumped out and hopped a cat.
Oh, look at that. He's a man of the people. I love him even more. Chris, thanks for your time, man.
He wanted to go incognito.
Yeah. Thanks for your time, dude, especially on a whim. I appreciate it. Talk to you later. Chris Solari, MSU beat writer for the Detroit Free Press. And I'm out of time. I'll see you tomorrow, 4 to 6. Until then, be safe and be good.
It's the Whitelaw PLLC Tailgate Show on the Lansing Sports Network, the Big Talker, 1240 WJIM, and Classic Rock 94.9 MMQ, a tradition in Lansing for over 20 years.